You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
So Luke 22, verse 42. Luke 22, verse 42. Luke 22, verse 42. Just before I get into the sermon, just a quick announcement. We've been threatening all year to do our end of year business meeting. We will be doing it this Wednesday. That means we'll start the service 15 minutes earlier. So 6:45, we're going to do our business meeting. Hopefully we just get through it in about 15 minutes. Basically what's coming, what's gone out, what we want to do for next year. We will be voting for the extra council members. And so, again, this is something that we've been threatening to do. We were trying to get everybody registered. But if you are a member of the church, you've gone through the new members class, then it is your prerogative to vote for two more elders. We've obviously got two already, so that's Kudzi and Roger. We want to pick out from the congregation two more guys. There will be about five guys that will be nominated. We'll let you know on the day. So come, vote. That these people are council members, so these are members in the congregation that you can go to, speak to about issues within the church. And also, from time to time, if there is an issue that I need to deal with you, I may bring them in so that I can talk to you for accountability, also for myself. So it's part of being professional. Amen? Amen. And so that will be happening this Wednesday, I guarantee. Also, Monday, there is no prayer meeting. There will be no normal prayer meeting until the new year. And so the next two Mondays, there will be no prayer meeting here. No praise and worship practice. And so I'm sure you've got things that you can fill that day with and pray. Amen. Okay, let's get into the Word of God. We're talking about a series, and the series is Like Jesus. And so one of the things what we're saying is that you are like Jesus. And when we look at you, we see someone who is like Jesus. And so straight off the bat, I'm going to get some participation. And so this young man here, he'd like to come forward. Wonderful. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him a round of applause. Amen. He is engaged at this moment in time. Praise God. You look, he's quite happy about that. You can get up as well. Amen. This guy is not engaged at the moment. So he's on the market. Amen. There's still a few more days into the year. Hallelujah. Okay, so what we're saying is this. This is, let's just say that we love you, man. You're going to be Jesus. Amen. That's a good thing. And so you're Jesus. And so, and you're a disciple. And so you're a Christian. You're saved. And so, what I want to ask you to do is turn around. So show your back to the church. Your back. Amen. And so, no need to tense. Have your back to the church. Straight like that. So what you're going to do is you come and stand here. So you can see his hands. So just put your hands by your chest. So what are you going to do? You're going to die, please. Just like here. And what you're going to do is, you're going to show a number of fingers. Amen. And so you might do two, you might do three. And when you see, you just call out what he's in. So let's just try it. So you're going to show him. Let's test it out. So, one, okay. How many could see what he did? No. You couldn't see what he did? So when you see what he does, I want you to copy it and hold it up like this. Yeah, so go for it.
Three.
Well, how many?
Three.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Good, okay. One more.
Two.
Two, okay. Let's do one more for the fun of it. Really go crazy.
Ten.
Okay, that's good. Okay, so now think about it now. You can't see what he's doing, but you can look at this guy and say, oh, we know what Io is like. We know what he's doing. We may not see Io, but we can look at this guy and we can say, oh, we know what this guy is doing. He's Jesus. See, this is what you should be like and I should be like. People should look at us and know what Jesus is doing? Should just be able to look at us, unsaved people, people in your workplace, people in your family, they should be able to look at you and just know what Jesus is doing. This is the problem many times, is that Jesus is doing one thing, and just do something, do anything. Not numbers, do anything right now. Exactly. What people are doing is, rather than doing what Jesus is doing, they're just doing their own thing. What was that? I thought there was like a mosquito there. Anyway, give them a round of applause. Sit down. Think about it now. When we look at you, do we see Jesus? Or do we see you just doing what you do? Are we just seeing you? Or are we seeing Jesus? That's what we're talking about, being like Jesus. So let's dive straight into this. We had a good time last week. Let's believe God for equally or more powerful move of God. And so the Bible says, Luke 22 verse 42, saying, this is what Jesus says, Father, if it is your will, he says, let this cup be taken away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. We pray, Father, that you would move in this service today. We pray, Father, that you would just challenge our hearts, go deep into our hearts. I pray, Father, that this word would help us. Father, convict those, Father, that need to be convicted. Encourage those that need to be encouraged. Save those that need to be rescued. Most of all, let Jesus be magnified. Let us see him high and lifted up, that we may leave this place and live like him and show this dark world who he is and what he's like, that they would get saved. And all God's people said,
Amen.
And all the real Christians said,
Amen.
We want to preach about like Jesus. Last week we looked at forgiving like Jesus. How many forgive some people this week?
Amen.
You've forgiven. How many feel free?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I tell you, man, I feel free. God is good. But what we want to talk about today is obedience like Jesus. Say that with me. Obedience like Jesus. Turn to someone and say, obey him.
Obey him.
Look back at them and say, you better obey.
You better obey.
Amen. Okay, let's go straight into this. Our text, this is our text. Jesus is about to go to the cross. And Jesus knows everything that's going to go on and happen. And Jesus prays this prayer. He says, Father, if there's any other way that we can save these people without me being separated from you. I don't believe Jesus was scared of the pain. I don't believe Jesus was scared of the cross. I believe Jesus understood there's going to be a separation there. Because this is just before really he drinks the cup, where he takes on the form of us. And so now, when Father sees him, he's going to see that the sin of the world is on him. Not in him. I know the Bible says he became sin for us, but that he didn't become a sinner. He's still perfect. But he took on that mantle or that responsibility. And Jesus is like, no, if there's any other way, but he says this, but not my will.
Yeah.
So could we honestly say Jesus didn't want to do this like this? Yes. We can say that. That's what the Bible said. He said, I don't want to do it like this. I want to save people. I want to obey. I want to be right. I want them redeemed. But I don't want to do this. But he says, but not my will, your will. What he's saying is, God, I don't want to do it, but I'm going to obey you.
Yeah.
That is like Jesus.
Yeah.
When you don't want to do it, but you still do the Father's will. Yeah. Jesus was obedient. See, this personifies who Christ is, Christ's life. Jesus came to do the will of the Father. Listen, Hebrews 5 verse 8. Through he was a son, it says, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. The Bible says that he went through suffering and brought his flesh under, because we realize he had flesh like us that can be tempted like us, like just like we can be. But he's still fully God, fully man. But the Bible says that he became obedient. Obedient. This is the profile of Christ. Don't miss this. Because if you're going to be like him, which we know we should be, are you obedient? Philippians 2 verse 8. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. The Bible says that again, it's showing us that Jesus was obedient. Two scriptures I picked out where I can prove the point that Jesus obeyed the Father. Now, many times people are looking at Jesus, and we saw the wonderful nativity here today, and we saw everything that's going on, and many people look at Jesus in different ways, and in the name of Jesus, and they do all of this. But can I say to you today, do not miss this fact that Jesus was obedient. Jesus, even if he did not want to do it, he would do it. This is how we should be. This is how you and I should be. Even when you don't want to do what you know God is telling you to do, you should do it.
Yes.
I should do it.
Yes.
See, too many times we're like, well, like God's got to convince you it's right. Like God's got to debate with you and discuss with you and maybe vote with you. No. When God tells you what to do, God is looking for you to do it.
Right.
But I don't want to do it, Pastor. What's that got to do with it? What has that got to do with it? Here we see that if you're going to be someone who's like Christ, you do even when you don't want to do.
Yeah.
We understand that we have a responsibility. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians, we're not going to put it up there, but the scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Mm. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. What we saw happen here, what Paul was doing, he was imitating Io. He imitated him. He did something, he did that. That's what God says. Imitate Jesus. Are you imitating the obedience of Jesus? Because when you're disobedient, you didn't learn that from Jesus. How many know that? When you're disobedient to what the Word of God says, and I'm going to get into some details of how we can be disobedient, so just hang there with me because I'm coming to that part. But when we're disobedient, are we like Jesus? No. We're not like Jesus. Oh, no. The Bible says, imitate Jesus. That means obey like Jesus. The Bible says that Christ left an example that we should follow in his steps. It says that in 1 Peter 2. It says that Christ left an example so that you would follow in his steps. Again, I'm pushing it. I know this is basic, but I want you to get this. Jesus left an example of obedience. A Christian is someone who is obedient to the Word of God. Someone who says, I'm like Christ. When people look at your life, they should see someone who's obedient to Jesus, to God. They're like Jesus. If you're not obedient, then you are not like Christ. Obedience is more than lip service. Lip service is when you look good to men, but God sees that you're not even doing what he told you to do. God actually says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Matthew 7 verse 21. That should be up. Okay, we got that. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you practice lawlessness. Now, we're going to unpick this. This scripture. Think about this now. Jesus speaking about the end of time. This is what's going to happen to every single one of us. See, if you, Pastor, give me a word. I want to know my future. I've just given you a word. This is going to happen to you. This is going to happen to you. Whether you attend this church or you don't attend this church. Whether you are black or white, rich or poor, male or female. This scripture is going to happen to you. You need to home in on this scripture. This scripture, the page of your Bible should be worn out. Because you should reread it. This is guaranteed to happen to every single one of us. That we are going to stand before God, and God is going to reveal what we've done. And the Bible shows us here that these people did some good stuff. They prophesied, they cast out demons. How many would like to cast out a demon? I'd like to cast out more demons. Amen. Maybe there's some here. Prophesying. I mean, you people like the prophecy. We like prophecy. Doing wonders. These people did some stuff. But Jesus says, He reveals. Because I've always thought, how come these people can do so many powerful things, but they're actually not, Jesus doesn't know them. And he reveals it very simply. He says this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. That means not everyone who's talking it is actually going to make it. But he who does the will of my Father. The reason why these people can do all of these spiritual things and still not make it to heaven is because they would not obey the Bible. So the Bible shows us here, you can be someone who's prophesying, but you're actually not obeying the Bible. You can be someone who is doing wonders, casting out demons out of others. Maybe they're going into you. And you're not obeying the Bible. You could be doing wonders, and people could look at you on the outside and be like, oh, what a Christian, man. That person is such a Christian. And you may be patting yourself on the back and saying, yeah, I do this, and I know that, and I've got this, and I've got that, and I've done this for God, and I'm so faithful. And you talk about it. But if you're not obeying the Word of God, Jesus said, not everybody that says, but everyone that does. See, God is looking for obedience. Let me tell you, let me give you, someone who talks, let me use this phrase. Someone who looks good, talks good, but disobeys, there's a word for them. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. When you talk good, and you pretend, and people think that you are a man of God, a woman of God, but then you disobey what it says in the Bible, you're living contrary to what the Word of God says, the Bible says you're a hypocrite. That's what it is. The word is connected to those that would be in Greek theater, and they'd wear a mask. That's what it means, one that wears a mask. And so they're hiding behind a mask. They've got a Christian mask. Hi, how you doing? But they got a mask, shaking your hand. Hi, praise God. They're singing songs with their mask on. Oh, the Lord, the Lord. But behind the mask, God sees it. Is that connected to a hippo? Yeah. You know a hippopotamus? You see the hippopotamus? When you look at a hippopotamus, it may look like a little frog creature when it's in the water. Because all you see is its nose, these little round bits, and its eyes. That's how it can be under the water. So all you see, when you look at, you can look at a hippopotamus and think, oh, it's about that big, about 2 foot in size. And it's just got little round eyes and little nose, and maybe that's its whole body. But underneath the surface, what nobody sees is this massive, bulky behemoth of an animal under the surface. And maybe today there could be some people that when we look on the outside of you, we see just a little eyes, a little nose, and oh, you're so cute. Oh, no, let's take you home. And then we grab and we try to, hey, how come this is not moving? And then we see coming out of water. Oh, be careful you do not marry a hypocrite. Because you think that you're going to get down the aisle. It's a little nose and a little head coming down the aisle. And then you'll be standing there. And all of a sudden you turn around. Ah! Or even maybe then you thought you married a little hippo. And so a little nose and a little eye. You pull back the veil. Listen, even then you can still hide it. But then you're on honeymoon. And then you realize honeymoon night. Woo! Be careful. Look at someone say, be careful. You're gonna hurt yourself.
Be very careful.
Jesus is saying, listen, you need to be more concerned with what you're doing than what you're saying. You need to be more concerned about what we are. Can I say to you today, agreeing is not the same as obeying. This is how many people say, I'm a good Christian, I agree with all the doctrine, I've studied doctrine, I understand about the Nicene Creed, and yes, and doctrine, and the Trinity of Christ, and I've read many books, and I've been on Bible studies, and I go onto YouTube, and I look at all that, and I agree with all the doctrines, and I understand theology. Wonderful! Agreeing is not the same as doing.
listen, I'm not the deepest guy. I don't have the best memory. Listen, that's why I have to keep reading. This is why for me, I'm always telling people, keep reading your Bible. Because I can read something and I totally forget it. I can read it and just forget. Listen, but one thing, if you was to say, Pastor, name all the kings. I can't, I've forgotten them. I'll be honest with you, I've forgotten them. I need to refresh my mind. Oh, yeah. Some of you know I was memorizing James. And I memorized it, and I've forgotten it. But it's in there, so if I just start to read it again, I've got it all back again. So it's in there somewhere. Yeah. But let me tell you one thing I don't forget. I don't forget adultery's wrong. You may know all the disciples and all of the kings, but I know that adultery is wrong. No, actually, I know that fornication is wrong. Yeah. I don't forget that one. I don't forget that lying is wrong. Yeah. See, agreeing is not the same as doing. Yeah, man. Do you have a Bible scripture for that? I do, as it goes. Matthew 21, verse 28. This is what Jesus says. But what do you think? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and he said to the son, go, work today in my vineyard. And he answered him and said, I will go. So he's got two sons, one here, one here. This guy says, yeah, I'll go. Then the Bible says, afterwards, he regretted it and he went. And then he came, sorry, 29, let me go back to 29. And he answered and said, he asked another brother and he said, I will not go. But afterward he regretted it and went. And then he came to the second son, likewise, and he answered and said, go, sir. But he said, I will not go. I've messed up this whole text, but you'll get it. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said to him, the first. Okay, so let me explain. The first son says, I'll go, but he doesn't go. Yeah? Second son says, I'll go, and he says, I won't go, and then he goes. We get there. One is saying, I'm not going to go, but he goes. Yeah, I'm taking it slow now. The other says, I will go, but he doesn't go. So one is saying, no, I'm not going, but later on he says, no, I'm going to do it. One of them says, no, I will do it, and he doesn't do it. And Jesus says, which one did the will of the Father? And he says, the one who actually did it. Wow. Now think about this now. You have two people, brother or sister, doesn't matter. You know, are you going to do right, live for God? Yes, Pastor. Praise God, man of God, woman of God, wonderful. Bro, sis, are you going to do it? Nope. Demon possessed. Then this person had no intention of doing it. They go, and as soon as they leave, I'm not doing it. So really what we thought was good is not that good. Yeah. This person is coming to church worshipping. Oh, praise God, I'm a friend of God. Coming to the altar, weeping. Oh, I'm so sorry. Coming out and doing all the things and looking. Talking a good one. I know this scripture, I know that scripture. This person here, we would be like, this person, who are they, man? And what are they doing? But eventually, this person repents. It's not that they go around through life to say no and do it. The Bible doesn't say, it's not acknowledging that. It says, no, at one point in the beginning, they said no. These are the person that came to church, and the first, they might not get saved, the first service. This is the person that they might not submit straight away. But they, God can reach into them and they actually repent. Yeah. What's the point I'm making? The point I'm making is this. This person agreed, but they didn't do. See, God is not looking for hyped people. People that are hyped, this word, I know people use it now in a certain way, but basically the hype is, you know, the enthusiasm. You come into a church, there's a lot of young people here. People tell me all the time, you know, so much young people here. This church, oh, I like it, it's so good. And so there's a hype. There is a bit of a hype here. Even at the banquet yesterday, Brother Anthony could tell you that a guy came up to him from, they had another thing going on upstairs. And a guy came up to Anthony, and I overheard it because he said it so loud. And he asked Anthony, where are the adults? And he said, I'm an adult. He's like, no, what do you mean? Is where are the old people? Because he thought being in church is just going to be pure old people. He was like, is this a special young? No, this is our church. It's a mixture, young and old. But this is what it is. Some people could come in here, and this is the hype. People come up to me, Pastor, you talk like me. I said, I've never seen someone preaching that you're talking our language. So you can get wrapped up in the hype. But can I say to you today, the hype ain't going to carry you. What Jesus wants is obedience. Let me show you here. Even Jesus deals with this. Because this is always, there's always going to be some hype in the church. Luke 11:27. And it happened, as he spoke these things, that a certain woman... So Jesus is preaching. Say, Jesus is preaching. Okay, so how many of us good preaching coming over the pulpit? I was there. And so Jesus is preaching, and then a certain woman in the crowd raises her voice. So she just feels like, yeah, I need to shout. I need to tell somebody. You know, there's always something. Once this, you took it too far. You just got too excited. Just chill. Listen to what she just shouts out. Bless it. Everyone turned around. She's like, bless it. It's the womb that gave birth to you, Jesus. So people are like, okay. Then she says, bless it are the breasts which nursed you. People are like, whoa, we don't want to hear about Mary's breasts. You've gone way too far there. Imagine my mom came here the other day. Imagine someone goes, hey, bless it. Think about it. I'll be like, whoa, easy. Move away from my mom. Leave her and just sit there. Imagine someone comes up, bless it, I'm impressed. No, that's wrong. You've taken it too far. You've got too excited. You're on a hype thing. But Jesus is so, you know, I would have probably been ushers take her out. But Jesus deals with it because Jesus is Jesus. He says, this is what Jesus says. Jesus goes, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and do it. Jesus says, listen, we don't want your hype here. Oh, Pastor, bless it. Oh, praise God, rock my body, I'm up. Shaking. You ever go to the church? People just start shaking. It's the spirit making you shake. Ain't no spirit. It's you. You're enough. You just hyped up. You just hyped it up. You got way too excited. And then you just hyped it up. No problem. We don't mind you getting excited. We want church to get excited and all of that. But let me tell you this now. After you stop shaking, you better go home and start obeying. You better go home and start. Listen, if you just shake and don't obey, then you're a joke business. If you're just, oh, praise God, hey, brother, can you hold a prayer? Can you do this, sister? Can you do that? You do it. Oh, praise God, this and that. And you're getting all excited and crying and tears, and you're in a frenzy. Okay, we're not against that. People get excited. If you want £1 million, you get excited. If someone was going to give you a house, you get excited. So we understand. We do get excited. But let me tell you this now. If you get excited and you do not change, that's fake. Yeah. Because Jesus says, no, this is what I'm all about. Not the hype, not the excitement, not all just running around, shouting and screaming. I'm into people obeying the word of God. Are you doing the will of Jesus, church? Are you doing the will of the Father? Are you like Jesus? Are you living by the word of God? There's a scripture, a story in the Bible. It speaks about King Saul. It's in the book of Samuel. And King Saul disobeys God. And basically, he's not supposed to keep any of these animals of these enemies alive. And he keeps them alive. And God told him, listen, get rid of everything. I don't want none. When you go into the battle, just wipe out everything. Just deal with it. I don't want it there. And just put them. I don't have the time to go into all the theology of that and the history and all of that. But God just told him to do it. So that's what he should have done. But he doesn't do it. And when the man of God comes to him and says, listen, I can hear the animals that you're saving. He said you're doing the will of God. I can hear. And he said, oh, no. I've saved them for a sacrifice. And this is the man of God says this. He says, God doesn't want sacrifices. What he wants is obedience. Yes. And the Bible actually says that we need to have, he says, this is what he says. He says, obedience is better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I want you to say that with me. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Let's try it again.
Obedience is better than sacrifice. Now by yourself.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Perfect. If you go away from the service today and they ask you what was preached,
and then
my wife is leading her own movement there. Think about this now. What the Bible is saying is you could be making all these sacrifices, but you're not obeying. You could be making all these sacrifices spiritually, spiritual sacrifices. You could be given. I heard of a guy in one of our churches that gave nearly £40,000. £40,000 in one offering. I mean, that's a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, £40,000. And listen, I'm not against it. Anybody wants to do it here, feel free. But let me tell you this now. Was he obedient? There were issues and areas of his life. Is he obedient? And I don't know the guy's heart. He's not in the church anymore. He's not going to the church anymore. And what I'm saying is all of that sacrifice didn't really do him any good. Didn't really do him any good. It didn't aid his salvation anymore. Because let me tell you this now. Like I said, I don't know all the details, but I know this much. If you're not back, if you're not serving God anymore in the church, there was disobedience. There was disobedience. One thing I've noticed is this. I've tried to counsel people, help people, and I see an issue that's like, oh, I'm trying to work with this person. They keep failing. Oh, I'm trying to get something here. There's a difference. Between our relationship, I can't work with them. You used to be on fire for God, now you're distant. You know, every time, not some of the time, not most of the time, every time when you trace it back, there's disobedience somewhere. There's disobedience. I remember we had a guy in our church, he was serving God, and everybody thought he was a man of God, and he's doing well for a period of time, and then all of a sudden he stops, leaves. I don't believe anymore. People are scratching their heads. People are searching their hearts. People are getting scared. Is that going to happen to me? Like it's a flu. Because like he was serving God, and all of a sudden, I don't believe in God anymore. It's like, my, that scares you. When you hear that, you'll get scared. Like, could that just happen to me?
Yeah.
And even, listen, I was baffled. What's happened here, man? Months and months and months go by. Then he found out. You know what he was doing? He was looking at pornography while he was in the church ministry. Amen. Because where there's disobedience, God says, listen, obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yeah.
Let me give you some things here. You may be doing many things as a Christian, but let me give you some things that we need to obey. And it's going to be very simple here. Holiness. The Bible calls you to be holy. The Bible, there's no debate. I'm not even going to read scripture. You study in your own time. The Bible calls us to be holy. That means if you commit adultery, I don't care how much you give in the church. I don't care how much you say you pray, you are unholy. You have disobeyed God. And obedience is better than all of your sacrifice. Fornication. Sex with somebody that you are not married to. The Bible says fornicators will go to hell. The Bible says a fornicator will not make it to heaven. The Bible says it, fornicating will not make it to heaven. If you are having sex with someone and you are not married to them, you are disobeying God. And you may come to church, and you may give money, and you may read your Bible, and you may pray. But can I say to you today, that disobedience to the blatant revelation of the Word of God, God says, listen, obedience is better than your sacrifice. Listen, before we get excited here, lust is wrong. And you may not be fornicating, but you might be lusting after something. Lusting after someone. Maybe you're married here, you're lusting after someone on your job. Lusting after maybe someone else's wife. Lusting. Looking at things on the television, on the internet. Looking at pornography. God tells us not to be involved in these things. Pornography is wrong.
Yes.
I don't care what this world says. The Bible tells us. Jesus says, if you look at a woman to lust after her, you have already committed the act.
Yes.
So whether it doesn't matter what you're doing, coming to church, praying, reading your Bible, giving money, maybe coming on outreach, if you're at home looking at pornography, lusting, men and women, doing things by yourself, pleasuring yourself. The Bible says you are in direct disobedience, and until you stop,
God says, your sacrifice I will not receive. Until you stop, God says, you are in disobedience and you are nothing like Christ. The Bible tells us to love people and forgive people. You know, the amazing thing is last week we preached a whole sermon on forgiveness and some people still haven't forgiven. Oh, yeah, I'm going there. We preached, you heard a whole message. Some people came up to me and said, Pastor, that was a masterpiece. Best ever. People were telling me, I felt things lift off me. I was emotional. When people tell me that, I'm like, praise God. That God would even use a frail framer's mind just to do something like that. To impact people's lives like that. But some people, stubborn. You think you have a choice whether you're going to forgive or not. No, God has commanded you to forgive that person. And all of your sacrifice is a waste of time if you will not. You can pray, you can preach, you can sing, you can rap, you can dance, you can give, you can do all of these sacrifices. But if you will not forgive, God says, obedience is better than sacrifice. You've got to love people. The Bible commands us to love people. Do you know that Jesus actually came and said, all of the commandments are all on this? Jesus said, the whole Old Testament is wrapped up in this. Love people. Love God. Love people. The whole of the Bible. He says, listen, God is telling us to love. It's not a choice. Well, I just don't, I'm not really feeling them. So what? What's that got to do with you? God told you to love them. God has told you to love your spouse. You could be doing everything else right, but if you do not love your spouse, God says your obedience would have been better than everything else that you're doing. How do we know this? Again, very simple. Stealing. Stealing is wrong. Doesn't matter where you're stealing it from. You could be stealing pencils from work. It's wrong. Oh, but Pastor, it's just... No, you're stealing. You could be stealing things. Oh, just a little pound here. I love it. The other day, I saw this woman in Wandsworth. She's supposed to be a care worker. And she was stealing £10 from an old age woman. But the thing is, the family had put a camera in the kitchen. And so she snuck out £10 and stuffed it down her bra. Nasty. Robbing from an old age pensioner. Stealing is wrong. Oh, it's only £10. It's wrong. If it's a pound, it's wrong. If it's 50p, it's wrong. Stealing. God says, thou shalt not steal. Doesn't matter. Oh, but you know, the world today and this is how it is. No, you need to stop stealing. Lying is wrong. Oh, this is the Christian sin nowadays. Holy liar up in the house of God. No, Master. You know you're lying to me. I know you're lying to me. You know you're lying to me. But you look me in the face. No. Lying to your spouse. Oh, I didn't know. You do know. Why are you lying? Lying to your parents. Oh, I'm only going here. You're not going there. You're lying. Lying to your boss. Oh, I was sick. No. You just stayed up too late the night before and couldn't be bothered to get up and go to work. And so you was under the covers, muffling. Oh, yeah, I'm really sick right now. There's a flu going around. You lied. You're lying. Do you know the Bible says all liars will have their place in the lake that burns with fire? Because they are related to the father of liars. Satan himself is the father of all liars. Some people, they've been lying so long, they believe their own lies. Some people have been lying so long. I remember, listen, I was a wicked liar before I got saved. Proper lie, 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 lie about everything. And I remember after I got saved, thinking to myself, you know what, that actually never happened. And I've been lying about it for like 10 years. I had a fight with him. I knocked him out and then I kicked his friend in the belly. It's a lie, you didn't. You ran off. I didn't run off, but it wasn't like that, though. But it's almost like I started to believe it. Like I'd almost get up on the stage. Yeah, one time, give my testimony. One time I was, no, because you start to believe your own lies. You're a liar. You need to repent of lying. Lying on your application form. You didn't get an A. You got a B. You never worked there. Lying on your car insurance. Oh, yeah. It's a lie. Listen. You can't be living in disobedience and then sacrifice to God and expect God to bless it. Smoking, drinking, raving. God tells you not to do them. Smoking is destroying the temple of God. God says anyone who destroys the temple of God, he'll destroy it. I want to give some scriptures because I feel those ones are easy ones. These are the ones where we have to deal with it. 1 Peter 4 verse 3. Peter says, we have spent enough time in our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. Basically saying, you've lived enough doing the things that the world wants you to do. Then he says, when we walked in lewdness, that's like uncleanness, sensualness, just you know, lewdness, the way that a woman is dressing, lewd, showing you a man that's looking at those bits and bobs. Lusts. What does it say next? Drunkenness. What does it say next? Revelry. That's like raving, all out of control. What does it say next? Drunken. It says that you don't want to say it. Let's say it now. So now. 1, 2, 3.
Drinking parties.
Drink raving. Some of you have already planned your drinking party for Christmas. You're disobeying God. The Bible told us, listen, Christians don't rave. Christians don't go to drinking parties. Christians don't go to parties where everyone is getting drunk and listening to us. I don't see nothing wrong. Listen, Christians don't do those things. I showed you in the Bible. Next time someone said, oh, why didn't it say in the Bible? We can't do that. I'm concerned that you even want to do it as a Christian. But anyway, we've all got flesh, so we give you that one. But this is where the Bible tells you, you cannot do it.
Yeah. Amen.
So if you do, go somewhere. Oh, it's my wife's Christmas party. You know what they're all doing. You know what they're doing.
Yes.
You picked out a dress. Hey, and let me just say, women of God, yesterday we had a wonderful time, and all the sisters in the church dressed like women of God. Yes. Amen. Beautiful women of God. Hallelujah. We've got some of the best looking women in the whole of the world in this church. Amen. So we thank God for that. But don't have one dress for the banquet and another dress for the work banquet. If you attend this church and you go raving, and then you take a picture of yourself in a rave with what looks like alcohol, and then you put it in your status, we're going to talk about it. And maybe there's a church out there that won't do that. Go there. Seriously, go there. You can phone the pastor for my phone if you need credit. If you're struggling to find another one, I'll find one. I'll go and I'll Google it on Google Maps. Pentecostal churches in the area. Because in this church, we want holiness.
Yeah.
We need holiness. We have to obey God. People do things and then they expose it, and then why are people talking about it? Because the Bible says that's disobedience.
Yeah.
It's disobedience. Let me just quickly run through gossip. The Bible tells us not to gossip.
Yes. Amen.
1 Timothy 5 verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle. Speaking about certain women. Sorry ladies, but we've got to deal with this.
Yes.
Wandering from house to house. Go home to your own house, furthermore. And it says, and they're not only idle, but they are also gossips, busybody.
Yes.
Saying what they ought not. Shut your mouth.
Yes.
That's what I'm just giving you the modern translation of what it's saying. You are a busybody. You're going from people's houses to houses. This is what the Bible says you need to. Therefore, I desire for the younger women to marry, bear children, manage their house.
Amen.
Go home, tidy up your house. Oh, my days. I can just feel things are happening. Gossip is wrong. If you're gossiping, next time you listen to gossip, Next time you gossip, know this, that all your sacrifices is a waste of time. Dating people that are not saved. The Bible says, Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked with non-believers. A Christian cannot date a non-Christian. A Christian cannot date a non-Christian. I'll say it one more time. A Christian cannot date a non-Christian. If you do that, you're in disobedience to God. Ladies, you must dress modestly. The Bible tells us, 1 Peter 3, verse 3, do not let your adornment or your dressing be merely outward, arranging of the hair, wearing gold, and putting on fine clothes. He says, he's not saying you can't do that. He says, don't let it just be that. He says this, but rather it be of the hidden person of the heart, with incorruptible beauty, of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. What the Bible is saying, as a woman, you need to dress modestly, meaning that you should cover your body. You shouldn't be using the curves and different things of your body to attract men. He says, well, you know what you should use to attract a man is a quiet and gentle spirit. That's what a man should look at. And let me tell you this now, woe to you, bro, is that you don't even look at the spirit of a woman, but you're looking at the bells and whistles of a woman. You're going to find out very soon that you're going to have problems. Oh my days. That you will reject all the women of God. Because she dresses modest, she dresses modest, she dresses modest. Hey, help mama. She's coming in. And so you're like, hey, praise God, I've been a single man for a while. And you draw for her. Trouble.
Yeah.
Trouble, man. Trouble. Oh, because you've gone past all of these women that exhibited these qualities that the Bible says is beautiful. It's an incorruptible beauty. What it means is that this is a beauty that doesn't matter how old she gets, it will never wrinkle, it will never crease, it will never wear out, it will never lose glory. This woman is incorruptible beauty, and she's gentle and a quiet spirit. Gentle and a quiet spirit. Not arguing with you. Hey, well, you know, listen to what
you said about yourself, huh? It's gone quiet, but it's good. Because I know it's going deep.
Let me close with this. Can you be corrected by the word of God? Can you be corrected by the word of God? Or are you, like it says in James, a forgetful hearer, that you look into the word of God? See, what we're doing today is, imagine this. When you come to church, imagine I'm showing a big mirror. Imagine we put a big mirror up in here. And you need to really see who you really are. That's what happens when you come to church, a big mirror. I'm just holding up the word of God, not my opinions, but what I think. Yeah, you know, there's a few little jokes in there, a few little illustrations. But all in all, I'm trying to give you the word of God. And we lift up a mirror and you look at yourself and you come to the altar because you've seen, God, I see a spot here, I see a pimple here, I see something here, I see that there. And you come to the altar and you say, God, help me, change me. Not throw yourself away. Oh, I'm rubbish. I failed. I've made a mistake. I've battled with lust. I've battled with pride. I've lied this week. No, we're not telling you go out in here and hang yourself. No, just see yourself. Yeah. And then at the end of the service, this is why we always have an altar call. This is an opportunity for us to get right with God, to come down, to turn on our seats, to go into the aisles and say, God, will you help me? I'm going to sacrifice my will for your will. God, I've been doing my own thing, but now I want to do your thing. Sorry, I've been disobedient to you, but God, help me another week. Help me another day. Help me in my finances. Help me in my marriage. Help me in my home. Help me to do these things. And then we come. But the question is, do you respond like that? Or do you look at yourself, and as soon as you see yourself, you forget yourself? See, are you building your life on sinking sand? Because in our text, he says this. He says, when Jesus is judging them, and he says, you know what? Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. And Jesus speaks about a word later on, and he says, there are some people that hear my word and disobey. And he says, they're like building a house on the sand. There are other people that hear my word and they obey, and they're building their house on a rock. See, this is why you see people that they look like they're doing well for such a season. And then maybe for years, some of these people. And then all of a sudden, they go out and they collapse. They do something crazy. You're thinking, why? Because the whole time, they were hearing the word of God, but they were building on sand. And one day, maybe in a month, maybe in a year, maybe in 5 years, a storm comes and it smacks it down. Easy as that. But there's others, they're in church week after week, and they're repenting, and they're obeying, and they leave church, and they say, I've heard what you said today, this week, God, to me, and I'm going to obey. He says, those people are building their house upon the sand. Jesus says also in our text, he said this, at the end, he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Remember he said that? Depart from me. What Jesus is saying, when I look at you, I do not see any of me in you. I do not recognize you. I do not recognize. Because you're doing these things in secret. The whole time you were saying, Lord, Lord. But you would not obey the word of God. You was doing this. Then you die. And stand before God. And yes, you was a member of the Potter's house. Yes, you was baptized here. Yes, you was in ministry. Yes, you did all of those things. But Jesus said, I never knew you. Because behind closed doors, when you left the altar, you go home or you go to school or you go to college or you leave here. And you do the exact opposite the word of God tells you. Jesus says, I will not recognize you. I do not recognize you. Today, we need to obey the word of God. And it starts with two things. Faith and love. Faith and love is what makes you obey. Faith because it makes you trust God. The Bible says Abraham obeyed because of faith. It was faith. He had faith. He's the father of faith. He obeyed because of faith. Maybe you've got an issue with your faith. You've stopped trusting God. That's why you stopped obeying. You're doing your own thing. Just like King Saul. King Saul wouldn't trust God. He took it into his own hands. And you're trying to do things your own way. Trying to do your finances your own way. Trying to get a job your own way. I mean, if I lie on the form. Yeah, you're doing your own way, man. You're not having faith. Just put those B's, put those C's, put those D's, put wherever they are. Listen, when I got saved, I was filling an applications form and they said, what's your education? It's blank. Blank. Because I have nothing. Blank. But who's going to, huh? What's going on there? Did you forget it? Did your pen run out? No, I have nothing. Who's going to employ that guy? But God gave me jobs. Because it's through faith. You've got to do it through faith, whatever it is. I'd rather have no job with God than have the best job without God.
Yes.
Not only is it faith, but it's love. Because God says this, if you love me, you'll obey me. Yes. You can't say you love God and you're disobeying God. You know, I've met people that they're fornicating, they're in a relationship with someone. Oh, do you love God? Yes. Huh? But you fornicate. How can you fornicate and say you love God? How can you disobey God and say you love God? You're delusioned. There's no faith, there's no love. We need to pray, God help us. Yeah. Listen, God has the reward for the obedient. There's some of you here, you've been obedient, you're struggling. You're like at that place with Jesus where it's like, you know what, not my will. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to obey. Yes. Exodus 19 verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Think of what the Bible is saying here. This is so beautiful. Because God doesn't care what your voice sounds like. God doesn't care what your IQ is. God doesn't care where you've come from at this point. God doesn't care about those things that the world says, oh, tries to identify us with. You could have nothing going for you. You've made all the mistakes that you should have never made and feel invaluable. But the Bible says this, God says, if you would just obey my voice, if you will listen to my word, if you'll obey it, if you'll leave here and obey, the Bible says, God says, you become a special treasure. God says, woo, you're my treasure. He values you. You become his special prize. And he says, I have all the earth, but you are my treasure. Because you obey. Obedience brings stability, longevity, and fruitfulness. Obedience is what's going to save you. The Bible says that, just like with the days of Noah, the last days are going to be like the same. It's going to be a similarity. God speaks to Noah and says, listen, I want you to build an ark. You've got to remember, in Noah's time, they'd never seen water. They'd never seen rain. They'd never seen rain. Noah's time, they'd not seen rain yet. Mist would come down and do things. You read in Genesis. And so you see there's Noah now. What's this thing you're talking about? He didn't, let me speak to God. God, what do you mean this rain's going to come down? I've never seen this before. I've never seen a flood. You want me to build what? A boat? A boat? What's that going to do? That makes no sense to me. We've always been here. No, he doesn't do that. He says, no problem. I'm going to go and do what you told me to do. And so he's sawing and hammering and building. Hey, boy, pick up that log. And he's doing this and he's doing that. And he's building this thing that makes no sense to him. But he's obedient. And what he doesn't realize fully, he's building his own safety. He's building the very thing that is going to save him. See, what God many times is telling you, don't do that. It's the very thing that's going to save you. It's the very thing that's going to shield you. And we are living in the last days. And let me tell you this now, there is a storm coming. There's a storm coming. And all of those people outside of the ark, no one got into the ark. He was obedient to God, him and his family. But all of those people that disobeyed God, didn't hear God, didn't care about God, they were destroyed. People may mock your obedience. How come you're not sleeping around? Maybe you're a young person and you're a virgin. I thought you were a virgin. Listen, praise God. It's a badge of honor. It's not shame. It's a badge of honor. Maybe you're a woman in this place and you know what? You're not a teenager anymore. You're in your 20s or maybe 30s. In fact, hey, how come you're not a boyfriend? How come you're not clubbing, sleeping around, dressing like a horse so you can attract someone? No, I'm a woman of God. I'm going to stay in church and I'm going to wait for a man of God. Yeah. Maybe you don't understand what you're doing. You're going to save you. You're a man in this place. Hey, why don't you do this? Do that. You can make money this way. Just put that on this form. Just say that to this guy. He can give you 50 pounds. He can give you 50 grand. He can give you this. No. If it's not right, then I don't want it. But look, you're suffering, man. You ain't got no car. You ain't got no house. You ain't got this. You ain't got no. Listen, when God's good and ready, he's going to open the door and bless me. But I'm not going to fudge the numbers. I'm not going to lie to nobody. And tell the council, oh, I live under the road. Well, you know you don't. So Noah gets into the ark. And I want you to see the analogy. The ark is like the obedience. And so Noah gets into the obedience. The rain is like the word of God. The judgment of God. And when that rain comes down, it destroys everybody else. But when the rain comes down, it doesn't destroy the ark. What it does with the ark is it actually lifts the ark. And so now Noah is being elevated. The only difference between Noah and those outside, it's not the rain is the same. The word of God is the same. The word of God, some people are being destroyed, judged, cursed. Others are being elevated. There's only one difference. Obedience. And Noah got into obedience. Today, if you will leave the house of God with obedience, everything you read and hear becomes a promise of your elevation. If you leave here today negligent, saying, I'm going to do what I want to do, the very word of God that would have elevated and blessed you now becomes a curse on you, because it's going to come back and repeat to you everything you shouldn't do. Today is very simple. Let us say, I'm going to be like Christ. Whether I want to or not, God, I just want to obey. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.